Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. An enticing collection of artistic treats ahead in the next 15 minutes. And joining me to unwrap these creative bonbons is artist, author, editor and critic Francesca Gavin. In the show today, French conceptual artist Pierre Huy has been chosen for the next rooftop installation at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. Glenn Ligon, the American conceptual artist whose work explores race, language, desire, sexuality and identity, curates a show in Nottingham, and we'll look ahead to Gallery Weekend Berlin, one of the leading events for contemporary art in Germany, which attracts art fans and collectors from all over the world. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Francesca.
Hello.
Hi, let's start at the very top, and you don't get much higher, either physically, reputationally, or metaphorically, than being invited to exhibit on the roof of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Now, there's always a lot of buzz about who it's going to be, and this year, the Roof Garden Commission goes to Pierre Huyghe. Now, the venue's enormously high profile, Francesca, and Huyghe's obviously already very well known, but his profile's set to expand with this major show. It runs until the autumn. He's been impinging more and more on the public consciousness this year in particular, with successful shows at the Pompidou Centre in Paris, the Museum Ludwig in Cologne in Germany, and also the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. So the Met really isn't releasing a lot of detail about this upcoming show, so perhaps we could have a look back at his past work. He tends to create his own worlds, many different forms: film, performance, sculpture, magic, nature. How would you describe his work?
Well, I think part of the joy of Pierre Huyghe is the fact that it's undescribable. I think he really saw a transformation of his practice during Documenta, which in 2013. And since then, in those big major retrospective shows, the Pompidou, which has been re-envisaged at LACMA in LA, you're seeing him, an artist, use his own history as almost an entire new work. So it's really fascinating. He's also, his use of nature is becoming increasingly important. Like, for example, in his last Hauser & Wirth show in London during Frieze last year, he did an incredible combination of aquariums that included water from Monet Giverny, or this wild video of monkeys with a sort of Japanese kudo mask performing, essentially. And you couldn't quite tell the difference between human, nature, what is not nature. The fact that he's using outdoor space is not the first time he's done that. Again, he did that in Documenta. He's also, part of the Documenta project he did was this reclining sculpture with a beehive for a head, accompanied by a dog with one pink leg. So the dog with pink leg has had quite a its own life outside of his practice. So I think the Met will be really interesting in terms of how they use that outdoor space in a much more creative way than, say, something like Jeff Koons in 2008, who just put a big bubble sculpture up there. This, I think, will be much more of a draw. And the thing about the Met, what's so interesting about the programming there, is that it attracts such a wide audience. It's much more, it's not necessarily really an art audience. The success in the Queen show there, and its continued success, where you had thousands of people who weren't that stylish lining up to see a fashion show, really kind of implicates how the Met kind of can bring contemporary art or contemporary culture to a really, really broad audience.
So more touristy, really, with McQueen, I mean, was bringing in the Bridge and Tunnel people.
Completely. I think that the Pierre Huyghe might be one of those moments when a contemporary artist crosses over into the public consciousness in a really different way.
Now, in trailing this very site-specific rooftop show, the Met's alluded to the fact that he loves animals, and the park is full of animals. And of course, you can almost see the zoo from there, I think, but you certainly will get a bird's eye view of New Yorkers walking their dogs. So all the Met will tell us is that the installation has a film component. What do you think it's going to be?
I mean, a film is one of the mediums he's used throughout his practice. So that makes a lot of sense to me that he would incorporate that. He's not really used with film embedded in installation or sculpture or anything like that. So I imagine that's going to be quite classic. However, with Huyghe, you know you're going to get something unexpected. So, for example, in a show he did in Berlin once, he filled the gallery with spiders. You would wander around surrounded by spiders. I don't think they're going to get away with that at the Met. But I think that there will be something that actually intentionally pushes the boundaries of what you expect. Yeah. For example, in the Pompidou Centre, what was so amazing is how he used the sound of bees as this almost like audio work that united everything together. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's an audio element connected to things.
Because he said that he's really interested in machine replacing man and animal replacing man, which you saw, as you referred to, with the whole monkey video, monkeys as waiters and that kind of thing. A lot of column inches about his sculpture of someone being infected with the flu virus.
It's quite a random one to focus on. I think that's a case of like journalists who don't really have an art background trying to find some point of access into his work. Because what's so interesting about him is when you're in his installations, you're like, what did I just see? I don't understand it. Yeah. And actually, that's part of what's... His work makes you think so much more than a lot of artists.
Well, the speculation will be over soon. The Roof Garden Commission, Pierre Huyghe, at the Metropolitan Museum of Art will run from May the 12th to November the 1st. This is a seminal time for civil rights in America, with race relations, police brutality and LGBT rights all at the forefront of the national consciousness. One artist whose work combines and explores all of these themes is the Black New Yorker Glenn Ligon, who in his new shows, Encounters and Collisions at Nottingham Contemporary, gives us his personal take on post-1945 US art history. Now, Ligon's work hangs in the private quarters of Barack Obama's in the White House. He's been described as one of the most significant American artists of his generation. He says that each of his works is a dialogue with other works of art, of literature, or of culture. So for this exhibition, he's brought together the work of 45 major artists, from Andy Warhol to Steve McQueen, as well as examples of his own work. So, Francesca, the show's received quite mixed reviews, some feeling it wasn't sufficiently focused, that the subject matter was way too wide, the work was too diverse, and other people saying that it was brilliantly curated.
I would argue that I think when you're getting an artist as a curator, which is what this project is, you're always going to get that kind of individuality, the fact that it is reflecting his own practice and interests. But I think that's part of what makes it so interesting. I think Glenn Ligon is an artist who's increasingly making a practice that's more involved and interesting. He's best known for a lot of text works, including the phrase Negro Sunshine, which are quite disturbing, a little confrontational, but also quite poetic. A lot of monochrome pieces, a lot of neon. But this is his third, well, the second of three very large shows he's had in the UK. He had one at Camden Arts Centre, and this one from Nottingham is moving to the Tate Liverpool later in the year. And at the Camden Arts Centre show, he created a three-video installation out of close-ups of a comedy performance, and it was really confrontational and very uncomfortable and brilliant. Mm-hmm. So I think he's an artist who's really kind of transforming what he's doing, even at the height of his career. Mm-hmm. But also he's releasing a book this year with Writing House Projects, where he's collected together basic covers from books that were Black artists. About African-American identity or Blackness in some way. Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting, how you're getting the formation of identity through culture. Mm. So I think it's like quite a natural progression in his work. Yeah. And I've seen the catalogue. There's some amazing pieces in here. I mean, it's a very unusual thing where you're getting someone like Carol Walker alongside Black Panther Party and Andy Warhol and Steve McQueen all squished up together.
Absolutely. So talk us through the sort of intertextual relationship with some of those major figures, that people that you've just mentioned.
Well, I think it's much more, less of a sort of direct referencing in all of that. It's very much more... I suppose American, like Afro-American identity, and actually American identity in a wider sense, is very much formed by those characters. It's quite a short period of history. It's a section of hundreds of years. Mm. And I think everyone within that culture is very aware of their own points of reference. So I think for me as a viewer, what I'm feeling is it's showing how ideas around identity are formed through culture, through visual culture, through literary culture, as opposed to, and through comedy, things that aren't necessarily through music and other more populist ideas of what forms cultural identity.
Mm. It's a very personal show for him, isn't it? It aligns his own history as well as that of Black America. is it to its detriment, as some critics have suggested?
Oh, yeah, but that's just there, just annoyed that a curator hasn't done it, I would imagine. I mean, that's my personal feeling, that, you know, we're living in a very highly curatorial period in time. Mm. And I think actually there's some freedom when an artist approaches something like this. It might not necessarily be as linear and obvious, and maybe as coherent as if someone who was doing this professionally, that's their approach to it. But I think Mark Leckie's traveling show, for example, that's been going for the past couple of years, where he curated objects from other things that was an extension of his own research and practice. Mm. I think that was very successful. So I think artists working as curators is something we're seeing more and more.
Yeah. Do you think there's a message, or is it a question?
I think it's got to be a question. I don't think there's a conclusion. There's definitely not a full stop.
You two can ponder the answers at Glen Ligon, Encounters and Collisions, which is at Nottingham Contemporary. It runs until the 14th of June. It'll then transfer until Tate Liverpool until mid-October. Recently, there's been an explosion of great music coming out of Berlin, but the city's been a centre for creativity for years, becoming firmly established as an important visual art location with the Gallery Weekend back in 2004. From the 1st of May, more than 50 galleries across the city open for 2 days and nights in the annual celebration of contemporary art. Francesca, it's the 11th edition of this event. It's mm-hmm. gone from a private initiative of local galleries to quite a big deal on the international art circuit. Even big museum supporting associations like Tate London and the Pompidou Centre take part. All of them coming into the city just for this one weekend.
I mean, it's their version of something like Frieze Week, essentially. You really feel like a sense of the whole city being transformed. It's almost sometimes as big or bigger than the Biennale, it feels, depending how successful the Biennale is, which it hasn't been for the past couple of editions.
Yeah.
It's I think it'll be interesting this year, because what you're seeing with Berlin is a kind of, as the sort of gentrification of the city increases in the past few years, it's quite frequently, very, very quickly compared to how it had been in the past 10 years. I think you're seeing an increased professionalization of the gallery scene out there. So a lot of galleries are getting a little bit more blue chip than they were necessarily before that. However, this is definitely an amazing time to go to Berlin, because the weather's great and you're going to go to galleries and see the biggest shows that they have, the biggest artists they have on their rosters.
Is there a guiding overall hand on the weekend? Is there sort of one vision or is it just everybody, a melting pot of everybody chucking in what they want to do?
It's basically a chunk of galleries putting on openings all on the same nights and trying to outdo each other with better shows.
Yeah. Well, as well as established galleries, of course, lots of new, edgy, experimental work on show. Is there anything you're particularly excited about?
Well, I'm very, very excited by Johan Koenig's new space, which is opening up in a church, and I think the whole city has been talking about it for quite a long time. He did a little taster of the church with a Jeppe Hein piece, and Jeppe Hein's an amazing Danish installation conceptual artist. He's going to be opening with Katharina Grosser and Jeppe Hein again. So I think that's going to be the big buzz of the week, seeing how Koenig, who obviously comes from quite a lineage of German art world history with Walter Koenig and Leo Koenig as relatives. Mm. So I think that's going to be the St. Agnes's new space. I think that's going to be really exciting. And if nothing else, because it's quite interesting seeing how you can be that ambitious within sort of a German art world, which is quite used to being a little bit more subtle and subdued.
Mm. Does the weekend attract the big collectors?
Definitely. And I think the difficulty about this year is, you know, you've got Gallery Weekend followed by Venice, followed by Frieze New York. And actually Brussels is even before that. So the next 4 weeks is very, very busy if you're a European or international collector. And I think that some of these events might be having difficulty attracting all the same people. So, and I know that Berlin, you've felt a little bit of struggle about that in the past few years anyways. I think there's a real proliferation of events which are trying to attract the same people wherever they go. I mean, for example, Art Cologne has just happened in April. So it's all very close together. However, there's some amazing artists within this. So I would like to see Isa Genskin at Gallery Buchholz. Who wouldn't? It's that kind of... And then younger names like Endash, who's showing at Mehdi Kaudry, who's a great little painter from New York, who just had a show at the Hammer Museum. And I think there's some really exciting kind of breadth of really big names and then kind of emerging artists. Mm. I mean, it's always a great time to also see a gallery sort of statement for the year. you really get, often sometimes you'll get group shows, but often largely single artists. Sanya Kantorowski is curating a show at Tanya Leighton, which is one of my favorite galleries in Berlin, which is a little bit more experimental and younger and often a little political. But yeah, there's some amazing spaces on it. It's definitely worth going at this moment in time, and collectors will be there. However, it's probably a good bargain time to go for collectors who are all busy with New York and Venice.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you want to play with the big boys and girls or just have a fantastic art-soaked weekend in an amazingly vibrant city, head to Gallery Weekend in Berlin. That's May the 1st to the 3rd. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Many thanks to guest reviewer Francesca Gavin, who's visual arts editor of Dazed and Confused. She's the author of 100 New Artists, Creative Space and Hellbound New Gothic Art. Now, The Book of Hearts is her most recent publication. It's an exploration of the meaning and representation of love and emotion through one of the most recognisable signs in the world. And we heart Francesca. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for the week's music releases. But until then, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.